We're going to have some fun now. The show's always fun. We're going to have some haunted fun right now. Rory Graves is here, author of the book Haunted Racine. Now, I got to meet Rory at the Racine Public Library. They had Local Authors Day. And we have a lot of local authors in this town.
Yes, yes, we do.
Yeah, you just come on. You say what you got to say. Just interrupt me. I don't care. I talk all the time. I like to listen occasionally, and I like to listen to you.
Got
to meet a whole bunch of local authors, including Rory. And I thought, well, this would be great to bring her in this time of year because people always get a little spooky around the end of October. And the weather today is great. The leaves are blowing outside. And
it's a perfect fall day.
I think I saw some two eyes looking at us when I let you in the building. I think I saw them in the bushes. Two eyeballs.
It was pretty dark out there.
I know. Kind of spooky. And, of course, trick-or-treating. And, you know, I always thought that if you believe in spooks and ghosts on Halloween, how do you know who's real and who's in a costume? I mean,
there have been enough horror anthologies to teach me I don't know.
What do you have a favorite haunted movie? And I'll tell you what mine is because it scares me every time I see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite one?
Definitely 13 Ghosts.
See, I saw that. Now, I hate to tell you my age, but I saw that in the theater when you had to have special glasses to see it.
We got those in our little DVD copy.
Okay, you got those.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to watch it in the theater, and there was a note on the screen when the actor put on his glasses, but he had big, we put on our cart, we just held the cardboard glass in front of our eyes. It was red and green, and you got to see the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't use it, you can kind of see the ghosts on the screen, but you got to see them in all its glory on the screen. 13 ghosts. Not the remake. You're talking about the original.
I am talking about the original.
With Martin Milner.
Yep. William Castle.
Yeah. William Castle's. They made that horrible remake of it. It was just terrible.
I think it's so fun, but it is not the same.
No. They did the same thing with The House on Haunted Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The original with Vincent Price was so good. I've watched it a million times. Never get tired of seeing it. Then they made the one with Liam Neeson. Was it Liam Neeson?
I don't actually know.
Okay. Then they made, in 1963, Robert Wise made two movies. He made West Side Story and The Sound of Music in the early 60s. In mm-hmm. between those, he made a movie called The Haunting with
yes.
Julie Harris.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen it all the way through, but I've seen a lot of it.
No, you gotta.
I know.
There's no blood. There's no guts. There's no stabbings. There's no slashing. It's just psychological terror.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Wise knows how to do it. I can't believe he made that between West Side Story and The Sound of Music.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a departure.
Let's talk about Racine. Is Racine really haunted? Are there haunted venues here and we should know about?
We actually have a lot here in Racine. I would say, well, I've talked to paranormal investigators before, and they've said it might have something to do with our lake being sort of a conduit for the spirits, being here on the shores of Lake Michigan. But I wrote an entire book about all of the different haunted locations, just the ones I had enough material to write on, not to say anything of dozens of others that I wasn't able to gain enough material for.
Okay, we're going to get to those in just a moment. I want to find out what made you go down this road of things being haunted and spooky. A lot of people try to avoid that stuff in their life because they don't want to have nightmares at night. But you went right for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up on William Castle and Vincent Price, and I've kind of always had this interest in the macabre. And it was actually a third grade history unit at Jefferson Lighthouse School that made me get into history and haunted history. We did a local unit on Racine's history, and one of the locations that we got to visit on a field trip was Mound Cemetery.
Ooh, cemeteries.
Oh, it is a gorgeous cemetery, too. It's still, I've visited so many, and it stands out as one of the most beautiful. But a lot of Racine's founders were buried there. And I decided I wanted to do my final project on Mound Cemetery. And so I went to the cemetery with my mother, a Polaroid camera, and I dressed up as the Grim Reaper and took pictures in front of all of the famous Racine graves and then made a little tour book out of it.
You lucky people that weren't there visiting somebody at night. And so you're walking around as the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, no.
It's enough to give you a heart attack.
We lucked out. I was like a 4 foot tall Grim Reaper, though. Not very intimidating.
Who knows how tall the Grim Reaper is? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm 6'3". I would make a, I don't know if this Grim Reaper is so tall. We stayed at, back when my daughter was real little, I took her up to the Dells. We stayed at the Inn of the Dells, which has now been through a lot of name changes. Mm-hmm. But it was Inn of the Dells. And right up abutted the hotel was a cemetery. And our room was facing the cemetery. And I made sure I got up in the middle of the night. Ooh. To look at it. Yeah, to look, see if I could see anything. Mm-hmm. You know, walking around. I've never been to the cemetery at night. And I wanted to walk around and see if I could see anything out there walking around. And I didn't see anything. But my daughter, she got up with me. And we're looking out the window. You see anything? Oh, what's that over there? And where?
Oh, my goodness.
But it was kind of fun looking around. I don't know. Have you ever seen cemeteries? Are they haunted at all?
I mean, I think so.
I mean, there's, you got a lot of dead bodies
so many
in
people
there. Yeah.
There.
You got dead people in there.
Even if some are at rest, some statistically probably aren't.
Do you know, ever hear the phrase saved by the bell?
Yes.
You know where that comes from?
Yeah, Victorian grave inventions.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah, I actually almost did a presentation at the Civil War Museum on that. In the Victorian era, people were very afraid. Actually, it predates the Victorian era. That's just really when the craze went all out. But people were afraid of being buried alive. And so it wasn't as common as we think, but occasionally they had bells above the graves when they were freshly dug that would have a string that went down into the coffin. So if the person was still alive and woke up in the coffin, they could ring the bell and be saved.
By the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a movie called The Premature Burial with Ray Milland, where he was so worried about being buried alive, he built all these fail-safes mm-hmm. in the coffin. But what he didn't count on was he became alive again, or we woke up decades later. So everything he wanted to use to get it was rotted by that point. He couldn't get out of the mausoleum.
Oh, that is a scary one.
Yeah, he had a rope to come down to the ceiling, but it turned to dust. He had a special drill to push the door open of the mausoleum, but it was so old it just broke into pieces. And finally, he was going to drink poison to kill himself, and it was just a cup of worms at the end.
Oh.
And he was stuck alive in the mausoleum.
Oh.
He couldn't get out.
That would probably be my worst nightmare.
All right, let's talk about another place in Racine which is scary and haunted.
Depends on what you want to hear about. One of my favorites is the Bell City Opera House. You're familiar with downtown Racine, of mm-hmm, course. Mm-hmm. On 6th Street, the old YMCA Red Cross Drug
yeah,
building.
Yeah.
There used to be another building there prior that was built in 1882 called the Bell City Opera House. It was a gorgeous theater. It lasted about 2 years. Racine's founders went and pulled money together to get Racine this beautiful theater, constructed it. And then in 1884, in the middle of December, it burned down to the ground. And it was right after a very packed performance that a Chicago company or a New York opera company was putting on. And it was not just the opera house that was located in that building, but also a hotel. And above the hotel, the servants' quarters for everybody who lived on premise and worked at the hotel. And around midnight, there was this large explosion that everyone heard. It rocked the building, and people started panicking. Crazy enough, a lot of the people did end up making it out of the building, but it wasn't until an hour later, around 1 a.m., that the fire alarm was sounded. And this was devastating because everything back in those days was incredibly flammable. There was the curtains, the facade of the building, the fact that it was wood frame
on
the inside.
Yeah, it was all made of wood, yeah.
Yeah, so it stood no chance. But one of the worst things was almost immediately the roof started collapsing. So the fourth floor where all of the servants lived was cut off very quickly. The only casualties in this fire actually were one servant, Mrs. S.A. Patricks. We do not know anything else about her except that she died in the fire, and two of the actors from the opera company. Mrs. Glover, she was a fine New York lady, and she did not want to leave the hotel in her nightclothes. So she tried to stay behind and get dressed, and her husband, Mr. Glover, stayed with her. But they were both found the next day in the ruins, clutching each other, which, very, very creepy. And it's insane that a building that large, only three people died in such a catastrophic fire. They deemed the entire building a complete loss, and about a year later, the Racine YMCA decided we'll build on that land, and they built the building that is still there. They call it the Old Stone Building. The YMCA was there for a few years before it grew to be too big to fit in the building. They sold it to the Knights of Pythias, thank you. Can never get that one right. And they rented out to a bunch of other people. And that's where the Red Cross Drug Company came in. Some of the other renters included little shops and things like that. And now, when I wrote the book, they had Roberta's Long Shot Vinyl, Perennial Soap, The Over Our Head Players, and Social on 6th. We're all occupying the storefronts down
there. Oh, I know where it is. I know exactly where it is, because I just went to the overhead, the 6th Street Theater.
Yeah, yeah, and they just got a remodel, too.
Oh, that's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
One of the Over Our Head Players, Joan Rory, who also owns Social on 6th, was one of the people I got to interview for my book. And she said, the second I got there, I was asking everyone, is this building haunted? And all of the actors were like, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely haunted. And she's like, what have you seen? They're like whispers around the building, you know, just normal. I thought I heard something. I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. But she was going down into the basement where the prop room is one day. And the craziest thing happened. She was about halfway down the stairs when she just felt this large backdraft behind her and heard what she thought was the shattering of a ton of windows just all around her, and it sounded like things were crashing. She wasn't even down the stairs yet, and then it was over. And she was like, what the heck is all of that about? She was just kind of in shock, so she went down to the basement, and she heard one of the other actors shout, like, hey, is everything okay down there? Nothing was out of place. Not one prop had fallen off of one of the shelves. No windows, no glass, no mirrors were broken. And she said after she had had that experience, she was thinking about it. And she thought maybe that was kind of an echo of the fire that had happened. When that backdraft, oftentimes when buildings heat up and all the windows blow out. And she said after that she knew. 100% this building's haunted.
I was just there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
See anything of your own?
No, but it's a good thing I didn't know that before I walked in. Rory Graves is here. She wrote the book Haunted Racine. More coming up in just a moment. Is your name Winston?
It is not. See, I would have done the same thing, though.
See, if I can't remember your name at a party, I'll yell, Rory! See if you turn around.
My name is Rory.
And see, that's one of those names, too. It's tough to gamble on because it's like Bob or something. It's a distinct name. That's good. We're going to get to another story here in a second. I started to tell you about, we talked about Mound Cemetery during the break there. And you, let me tell you who I'm talking to. First of all, Rory Graves wrote the book Haunted Racine. We heard the first story, which was really got me goose pimply. It took place on 6th Street, where the 6th Street Theater is right now. It used to be the YMCA. And it was a burned down hotel and the wine. Oh, it's a whole great story. You have to read the book to get it, because if you missed it, you missed it. Anyway, you'll get there. We'll tell you how to get the book. But anyway, we were talking about Mound Cemetery, and we talked about there's a grave there from the guy who used to give tours, and his mother's grave is there with a bingo card on the back.
Yep, I know the exact one.
And this is why the bingo card's on the back. She was a big bingo player. And she was winning. If you, people know how to play bingo, at the end, if you fill up the whole card, you get a special bonus or whatever it is. She was one away, like I-26 or whatever it was, I-26. Somebody yelled bingo before her. She took her marker and slammed it down. You know those ink things that people
use? Yeah, the ink blotters.
Splattered red ink all over everybody. And she never forgot that she lost on that day. So on the back of her tombstone, it's got a bingo card with the words, "In search of I-26.
Wow. What a story.
Because she never got it on that day. There's some other thing. Every member of the family got to put something on her gravestone. And they have little stories like that, but that's a good one. All right, so we're talking about Haunted Racine. Give us another one that's going to give me chills.
Familiar with Regency Mall?
Oh, yeah. Well, the former Regency Mall.
Yeah. Truly. Woodman's is coming. Everyone's excited about that. But formerly, that site was actually where the Racine County Insane Asylum was. Most people in recent memory probably know it as High Ridge. But prior to that, there was an older building. It was built in 1889. But it was already in disrepair by 1910. So it did not last very long as a nice place for people to go, as so few asylums were at that point in time. But in the 1900s, just at the beginning, they had their insane asylum, and then they also decided to build a poor farm, which sounds horrific, and my opinion is, but it's where people with no work were sent. So just the poor people of the county sent to this place, kind of like a public assistance, but they would actually farm the land around it, and they were built side by side. They had a cemetery on site for any of the unclaimed bodies, and in 1910, it was brought up in a bunch of newspaper articles, Racine Advocate, the Journal Times, Daily News, that this cemetery was just appallingly kept. It was overgrown, there were snakes, there weren't tombstones for half of the people, not wooden, not markers, nothing. And so they said they were going to make it better, and they did for a little while, but that was the least of the asylum's problems at the time. By the 1940s, they got into hot water over not taking care of their patients enough. 1950s, a rather famous guy said, "Hey, this place is like a dungeon. It's horrible. I cannot believe you let people live here." And then by the 1970s, when it was High Ridge, the employees actually went on strike because of how bad the conditions were. They were like, "We cannot work here if this is how people are being treated." And it was around then that it ended up finally closing, but that cemetery was still there. And they thought they were going to move the bodies, but what they actually ended up doing was plowing over it, and now you have Pritchard Park. The park right next to the cemetery, or right next to Target.
It's Pritchard Park.
Yeah, Pritchard. Yeah. But also on that same exact site, because a poor farm and an insane asylum aren't enough. 40s or 60s, there was a tuberculosis sanatorium that closed down. And it opened up in the early 1900s, where people would go to be treated for TB, which was really prevalent in the county at that time. And hundreds of people died from it because there's not much they had to treat it at the time. So those two places were where Regency Mall stands right now.
Well, the Pauper Cemetery is there. My wife and I visited the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not gravestones there. There's a marker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between, right, where Target is and Pritchard Park. And they it's a cemetery. You can't take it away and put a water slide there.
No.
So it's just there. And a lot, people don't know when you drive by. There's not a sign. But this was the pauper cemetery.
Yep. And that's, it was poor people or people who had mental disabilities were just cast off there for a long time. After High Ridge was built and then torn down, the old Kmart that is now Spirit Halloween, funny enough, they thought, while they were building it, a couple people had a rumor that the reason the walls kept falling in when they were trying to build it is because the ghosts were mad that they were trying to build right there. That pond that also exists in front of the old Kmart, the Home Depot area, is the same pond that was there when the asylum was built. So that's been there forever.
Now that you mention it, I did hear about the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear about it. Now that you mention it, it's all coming back to me. Yeah, that pond was there, yeah.
Yeah. The pond has a much more charming history. They used to call it the duck pond because ducks lived there all the time. And people would come by and throw bread. But apparently, this whole entire site is very haunted. Not only do Regency Mall employees cite things falling over, weird music playing when nothing's going on, there's also the Kmart employees. Ron Helmick, who was on your show last week, was one of the former employees there who heard Christmas music after the entire store was already shut down and the music's turned off. Things would fly off shelves. The carts would occasionally just roll away on their own. More recently, a medium was going by the building at night when she said she saw a woman standing in the, I forget which store it was, but one of the storefronts, not Kmart specifically, who looked like she was in a hospital gown, just staring out at her with her hand on the window. And one of the craziest stories is actually from across the street from Regency Mall, where Lone Star used to be. Now, Texas Roadhouse at this point. But apparently, in the early 2000s, an employee died.
Buffalo Wild Wings is there now.
Across the street from the...
Yeah, where Lone Star used to be is Buffalo Wild Wings. And there is a Texas Roadhouse a little further down, yeah.
Man, it's crazy.
I want to get our ghosts straight. That's all.
Yeah,
I want to go there and I see them.
I appreciate it.
No, go ahead.
It's been so long since it stood.
Go ahead, yeah.
But one of the employees died in a car crash, and she had a specific server number in the computer. And even after they took her out, her server number would continue to show up every so often after hours, like she was taking orders for a table.
So this is recent.
Yeah. That very recent. And they contacted corporate and said, hey, this person's name continues to be coming up in the system for like a drink at the bar, for just like one or two items at the tables. And corporate said, we've taken it out of the system. We have no idea what you're talking about. And up until it was torn down, just every once in a while, another order would go through under her name. And, I don't know, that one gives me the chills.
They all give me
the
chills.
Someone you knew.
Yeah. Wow. All right, so that's, all these are right around this area. I mean, we're right down the block from all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pauper cemetery is right here. The old Kmart is right down the block from us here, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Hold on. We're talking to Rory Graves, author of Haunted Racine. We'll tell you how you get the book and everything coming up in just a moment. All right. Yeah, see, your coffee is shaking in your hand this morning. 747 WRJN Local News. Timeless Hits. WRJN. Rory Graves is with me. We're talking about Haunted Racine. What's on the cover of the book, by the way?
This one is actually a photograph of Winslow Elementary School.
You have a different one than I do? Oh, no, you have a sticker on it. Okay.
I've got to keep it straight at signings.
Okay, good. So that's what? Winslow?
Winslow Elementary School. It's actually right next to the former St. Luke's Hospital on Wisconsin Avenue, right behind that whole hospital. It's since closed down, no longer used as an elementary school. RUSD still owns the property, but That school was actually built on Racine's first cemetery.
Oh, great.
Right over the top.
So let's, look at this. I'm getting scared thinking about this. Before we do that, I want to make sure people can get this book. It's sold everywhere. Amazon, you said Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm. Also, Racine Heritage Museum and Racine Art Museum are selling it.
So you can get this anywhere. Oh, yeah. So the story behind this, is there a haunted story behind that being built on a cemetery? It's just a horrible... It's like the movie Poltergeist when they built the neighborhood on the cemetery.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said when I found out about that. They had the first cemetery. It was there maybe 10, 15 years before they decided we need a new school. And it was a very nice central location. So they said, we'll just move the bodies. Some of them went to Mound Cemetery. Some of them went to a very nearby cemetery, Evergreen, which was up against the lake. And they did not remove all the bodies. They found that one out real quick.
This is like Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. Children would find in the schoolyard just bones every so often.
Oh, my goodness.
One of those old-fashioned wells where you would pump the water. They used to call it skeleton juice because it came out of the ground with all the skeletons. Local homes nearby have found bones every so often.
Oh, my goodness. This is terrible.
But they said while it was open, the school was haunted. A couple teachers talked to me and shared their experiences, as well as there's a bunch of houses right around that area that also are haunted. And I kind of wonder if it doesn't have something to do with that old cemetery, which used to be there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So this is where now? Now, the building's gone, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's there now in its spot?
The building actually is still there.
Oh, it's still there.
But it's not in use anymore.
And it's on Wisconsin Avenue?
Wisconsin Avenue is where the hospital is. It is right behind the hospital.
Oh, I know. Is it? Oh, yeah.
There used to be a little wooden playground there.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly where it is. Yeah, this is, I pass it on the way to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When I come
Me
down.
Me too.
It's on 14th Street and Wisconsin Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the hospital, the All Saints is. So they have a couple of letters out on the neon sign. That's how I remember where it is. So, and the school is where now and associated with that?
The school doesn't exist anymore at all.
But the building's there.
Yeah, is there.
The building is where, if I'm standing in front of the hospital, where is the building?
If you're standing in front of the hospital, if you walk one block west, right from the lake, behind it, it's right behind it.
I pass that every day, probably, yeah. And I don't even know it.
There's a large parking lot that kind of makes up most of the one that butts against 14th Street. So the school is a little bit set back from the road.
And they still found bones. Did they bury these people in... I guess the coffins can rot after mm-hmm. so many years.
Wooden coffins. They don't stand the test of time.
Oh, this is just... This is a horrible... Is it the story in the book?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no! That's terrible.
My whole entire section, Legends of the Lakefront, focuses on homes around that area and homes around the old Evergreen Cemetery, which
Let's talk
was
about that. Yeah.
A mile away.
The book is divided into four sections: Haunted Downtown, Legends of the Lakefront, Southridge Sanitariums. Oh, great. And other, what's that? Other.
Racine County Frights.
Racine County Frights. Other Frights of Racine County. Whoa. That is spooky. That's like the movie The Burbs, when the dog comes back with a big femur bone in his mouth. And Rick Dukeman says, wait a second, this isn't a chicken bone. This is a femur. He says to Tom Hanks in The Burbs, he's got this giant bone in his mouth from the neighbors who are killing people.
Uh-huh.
That's the best story yet.
Yeah,
because people found bones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Funny enough.
And what they call the well? Skeleton well?
Skeleton juice.
Skeleton juice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a quick story? You have a quick one?
Yeah.
Give us a quickie.
The Evergreen Cemetery, which was about a mile away, they also had a very similar situation where they did not dig up all the bodies when they decided to remove it.
Ugh.
Right next to the sewage plant, where it currently is on the lake. And twice during the construction of a home in Wind Point, they used sand from the water treatment plant, brought it over to Wind Point, dumped it out to start making the foundation for the house, and they found bones. One was in 1989. They found, I believe it was part of a skull and a pelvis and some other miscellaneous bones. Called the police department. These bones are super old. They figured out it was from Evergreen. But again, same house in 2017 decided to widen their driveway. They found bones again.
This is just recently.
Yep. That is probably the most recent historic thing that's happened in this book.
That's somebody's loved one.
Mm-hmm. And
what do they do with the bones when they find them?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's somebody's loved one they're talking about.
Yeah. The Racine College Boys School was right across the street from that cemetery. When they found bones, they would burn them sometimes, which baffled me when I found that out. Just, don't know what to do with somebody's loved one. We'll just burn the remains, which is crazy.
And they have no idea who it belongs to.
No, at that
point. Are there any records of the cemetery?
Those all burned up in the blaze of 1882.
This is a movie. This
Racine's
is amazing.
History is insane.
And this is all within walking distance of everybody's homes in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what you're walking down the block from. So where is that again, that last story? Where did that take place?
Right next to the water treatment plant.
And where's that?
It's on Wisconsin Avenue. There's just kind of like a bluff where there's a few benches right across from the lake.
I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just south of Lake Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right there.
Well, that's where the DeCoven Center is.
It is.
And where was this building exactly?
The building, there was no building.
Yeah.
It was just the cemetery across from it.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where that is. Yeah, my mother was at Lake Oaks. I must have walked there a million times.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't know where you're walking in town.
No, that water treatment plant is just a block away down the...
And you got pictures in the book, huh?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this is must reading. I mean, this is something you've got to read. The book is called Haunted Racine, Rory Graves, the author. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, RAM, the Racine Art Museum, and the Heritage Museum in town. Let me see that. Ugh.
That bottom image there has where Winslow is in relation to the hospital, too.
Man.
Yeah.
See, my wife and I like to track, you know, to do the actual tracking once we read something.
Mm-hmm.
We just read somebody else's book, and we went to all the points she talked about in the book. It's just all in Racine.
Yeah.
So you can do that. This is a great book. We got to have you back again.
Well, there are plenty of locations for you guys to go visit.
Aren't you going to Paracon, or what's the name of that thing?
Bell City Paracon, actually.
Paracon for paranormal activity. You're into that,
mm-hmm.
too, huh?
Absolutely. It is going to be on November 2nd. It's a Saturday at the Danish Brotherhood. It's actually right in between Racine and Kenosha on Sheridan Road. So we're having a convention for different paranormal things. We'll have some awesome vendors there selling paranormal goodies. If you like aliens, cryptids, ghosts, any of that kind of stuff, there's going to be plenty. There will also be speakers. I'm going to be the first one in the morning. Barnaby Jones, a cryptozoologist, is going to be there. I'm very excited.
Not the TV detective. No.
Not the TV detective. But all of the proceeds from it are actually going to be going to 4th Fest to donate to the 4th of July celebration.
Good for you.
And for the Danish Brotherhood as well, they were kind enough to let us use their space. We're going to be holding a 50-50 raffle.
Good for you guys.
Proceeds will go to them.
Excellent. Rory Graves, the book is Haunted Racine. You got to read this thing. You'll be terrified. You'll pull the sheets over your head. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to lock my door, pull the sheets off my head, and turn on every light in the house. Haunted Racine. Again, it's on Amazon, or you can buy it locally at Barnes & Noble. That mm-hmm. place isn't haunted, is it? Not that we know of.
Okay.
Barnes & Noble right there on Green Bay Road. And also, you said the RAM, downtown Racine, the Racine mm-hmm. Art Museum, and also Heritage Museum just south of, in downtown, but just on the south side. Rory, thanks a lot. Rory Graves, great name.
Thank you for having me.
Haunted Racine, I got to have you back. You and Ron Helmick, I'm terrified to even walk out of this building between the two of you. I'm just going to pull the sheets over my head, and that's it. Thank you, Lori. Do appreciate it. 801 WRJN. You know what that means. News time.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Receive Kenosha.
Check news now. Here's C.